On 88.1 WYPR, I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to a special edition of Maryland Morning. In the most recent poll gauging support for candidates in the crowded 13-person race for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Baltimore, two candidates, State Senator Catherine Pugh and former Mayor Sheila Dixon, are statistically tied. Businessman David Warnock is about 15 points behind them, and Councilman Nick Mosby is next with 6% support in a poll conducted about a month ago. This morning, a debate between some of the leading candidates. After originally agreeing to come, Catherine Pugh has cited obligations in Annapolis as her reason for suddenly declining to appear. So for the next hour, Sheila Dixon, David Warnock, and Nick Mosby will answer my questions and questions they may choose to pose to each other. Early voting in this important election begins a week from tomorrow. Dixon, Warnock, and Mosby join me today on Maryland Morning right after these headlines.
I'm producer Rob Sivak. To catch the news, you'll need to listen to us live on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 o'clock on 88.1 FM in Baltimore and Frederick, 106.9 in Ocean City, and streaming online at wypr.org/listen. Now, on with the show.
Thanks, Nathan. Good morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. There have been dozens of mayoral forums held throughout the city during this campaign, a wide open race that does not include the incumbent mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake. In many of those forums, the sheer volume of people on the stage, from 6 to 13 or even more candidates, often made it difficult for any person to explain his or her vision in a thoughtful and unhurried way. For our show this morning, we have asked the top three Democratic candidates in the most recent poll to join me here in Studio A. That poll was commissioned by the Baltimore Sun and the University of Baltimore. It was conducted by a firm from Annapolis called Opinion Works about a month ago. We expect that a new poll will be released sometime this week, and it's possible that the results of that poll will be different than the results that were published on March 10th. But at this time, the three candidates who are leading in the race for the Democratic nomination are State Senator Catherine Pugh with 26%, former Mayor Sheila Dixon, who stands at 24%, that's basically a statistical tie, and businessman David Warnock, who is in third place at 10%. They were followed in the March poll by Nick Mosby, Elizabeth Embry, and Carl Stokes, who each attracted less than 10% of likely voters. Seven other candidates registered below 1% in the Sun UB survey. So we invited Senator Pugh, former Mayor Dixon, and Mr. Warnock to debate for the hour today. They all agreed to appear on the program, and yesterday afternoon, Senator Pugh suddenly canceled her appearance, citing obligations in Annapolis. Nick Mosby was kind enough to adjust his schedule so that he could be here. I'm delighted to welcome him, along with Sheila Dixon and David Warnock. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So before we hear from the candidates, a quick word about our format. Why limit our discussion this morning to just three candidates? Well, we have three microphones here in our studio, and there are space and technical limitations that make it difficult to add more people to the mix, so it's as simple as that. We will spend the entire hour discussing the issues with a couple of breaks for the national news and the Environment in Focus, a regular Wednesday feature here on Maryland Morning. So after each candidate makes an opening statement, I'll pose questions to each of them and encourage them to address each other as they parse out their policy differences and distinctions. They'll also have the opportunity to make a closing statement at the end of the program. So we'll begin with former Mayor Dixon. Welcome. Thanks for being here, and let us know what you think.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. You know, I've been traveling all over the city now for the last several years, and one of the things that has been resounding all over the city in every area that I've traveled is, Mayor Dixon, you know how to get this job done. And I love this city. I'm committed to the city. I know what it takes to move and lead this city. I know some of the other candidates talks about failed policies. But you know what? My administration was able to reduce crime to its lowest in every area, not only violent offenders, but quality of life. You know, I just recently had an incident happen to me at my own home where someone broke in and the police came and said, well, burglaries is not a priority. I said, you know, they knew who I was. I said, excuse me, burglaries are a priority. Everything is a priority. And so it's going to take someone who has not only the vision, but who's also been able to implement a plan to reduce crime. I also know what it takes to run an effective and efficient city government, because people want to have quality services. The other area that I'm going to be focused on more than ever is tripling our training money so that we can work with organizations in this community who have effective training programs to provide the kind of training to create the kind of jobs that we need. The jobs are there, but there's a disconnect.
Okay, and we will get to that as our discussion continues. Mayor, former Mayor Dixon. Mr. Warnock, good to see you. Good morning.
Great. Good to be back on YPR. You know, I keep telling everybody that this is the most important election of a generation in the sense that, you know, we can go back with the political status quo that really hasn't gotten us where we need to be. I mean, we really do have 17,000 vacant houses. We really do have public schools that aren't educating our kids. And these are things that have been endemic in our city for a long, long time. And when I talk about my candidacy, I talk about scaling things that I've done for years. You know, you hear a lot of plans, and it's election season, so everybody's got a plan for this and a plan for that. But I'm really talking about things that I've done in Baltimore City for the last 30 years, whether it's creating jobs and the businesses that I've created that employ hundreds of people, or removing the barriers to employment, like I've been doing at the Center for Urban Families, where I've been the chairman for 13 years, or creating schools that are truly impactful, real community schools, like the school that I co-founded, Green Street Academy, on Hilton Parkway. You know, and sponsoring social entrepreneurs like I did with Baltimore's Future on YPR for a long period of time. This is an election that's got a clear choice. Are we going to move forward? Are we going to move backward with the political status quo and politicians that frankly haven't delivered when the cameras aren't running? So I'm proud to have come to Baltimore in that pickup truck 33 years ago. It's given me everything that I have, and I'm really looking forward on April 26th to beginning to write the greatest turnaround story in America in the town that I love.
All right, David Warnock, we will continue along those lines as well. Councilman Mosby, welcome. Good to see you.
Hey, Tom, thanks for the opportunity. The question that I've been asking when I travel all throughout the city of Baltimore, I don't care if I'm in East Baltimore, West, North, or South Baltimore, I ask residents, has the city gotten better over the past 30 years? Are we on the trajectory of projecting out exactly what we want out of our city? And the resounding answer is always no. And we have two clear options in this election. Either we can continue to invest and support the failed policies and failed leaders of the past, or we can say that we want to move our city in a new direction with new leadership that will produce lasting results. 4 months ago, I was the first candidate in this race to come out with a very comprehensive plan of going after Baltimore's toughest challenges that we've seen, unfortunately, for decades, structural and systemic issues that have plagued our communities for far too long. I mean, when we talk about today, we talk about 500 more vacant properties than we had 15 years ago. We talk about 344 homicides last year, the highest per capita in our city's history. And we talk about a school system that's just failing our kids. At the end of the day, we need a leader that's going to be able to connect the dots, a person that is one mayor for all of Baltimore. I tell folks all the time, being born and raised in the city of Baltimore, going through the school system, you know, I've seen the best, I've seen the worst out of this city. I've been able to do well in corporate America. I've been able to work in City Hall as a councilman. And I'm the only person in this race that can go in any corporate boardroom or any street corner and be as effective. And it's that type of transformative leadership that the city of Baltimore needs now more than ever. And that's why I ask folks to vote for me, Nick Mosby, come April 26th.
All right. Thank you all for those statements. Let's begin, Ms. Dixon. The campaign has gotten decidedly nastier in the last week and a half or so. Longer than that, perhaps. You issued a call to Senator Pugh to denounce a flyer that's being distributed by a PAC called Clean Slate Baltimore, which has a very unflattering photograph of you on it. You have spoken, as has Mr. Mosby, Ms. Embry, and others, about campaign contributions that Senator Pugh has received from places like BG&E. Talk about what your I'm interested in the fact that you've known Catherine Pugh now for a long time. I mean, what, 25, 30 years, something like that? Long time, right? If there's a flyer that ended up on my doorstep that says Catherine Pugh is in the pocket of the utility company raising your rates, and this was authorized by your campaign. Do you believe in your heart of heart that Senator Pugh is unethical and has operated in an unethical manner as a state senator or before that?
Well, let me just say this, because I'm really focused on providing factual information and informing the citizens of Baltimore about what I can do to move the city forward. You know, I don't think anybody is trying to go back, but I think also people just need to see the facts. And when you try to do everything in your power to discredit someone else instead of focus on the issue, it really kind of tells about your character. And that's what it's about. It's about how do we move the city forward? How do we not only implement new plans, but how do we build on some successes that we've created over the years? And so for me, I'm not going to focus on the negativity that Senator Pugh is trying to win this race, because to me, it's about how do we work to build a successful city. We don't need negativity, but if that's what her agenda and her strategy is, you know, more power to her. People are tired of that.
You asked her to denounce the Clean Slate Act, which she did yesterday afternoon through her spokesperson.
Oh, she did denounce? I didn't know that.
Anthony McCarthy, who used to work for you in your
administration. So I'm assuming that she's going to stop taking the PAC money, and the PAC money's going to
That we can't talk about. And again, you know, Senator Pugh declined to be here this morning. But to say you're not going to be negative, these are incredibly negative.
No, they're not. No, it's not negative.
You're saying that she's in the pocket of the utility.
It's about facts. She's taking money from BG&E. She sits on and chairs the finance committee for the state senator. I mean, her seat at the state senator seat. She's taken PAC money. She's also made commitments about potentially selling the conduits back to BG&E. I mean, sometimes
These contributions, we should state, are legal.
Yes, they are legal.
They are legal.
But when you have bills before your committee, when BG&E mm-hmm. is about to raise our rates
right.
to the citizens of Baltimore.
Mr. Warnock, what's your feeling about this? First of all, BGE also yesterday announced a partnership with Hopkins and others, a thing called Be More Local, where they've committed to a $69 million package of jobs and services being contracted for local from local businesses. BGE is a major employer in this town. What's wrong with BGE supporting any of the candidates? And, you know, would you or Ms. Dixon turn this down if BGE came to you? Ms. Dixon, would you turn the money down if BGE said we want to support you instead of Senator Pugh?
Right now, 80% of my funds that we've raised.
Would you turn it down from BGE?
Right now, I would turn it down because there are too many issues that they're trying to get addressed in this city.
Want to buy
the conduits back?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for cutting you off.
No, the reality is that Baltimore has had a long history of major corporations and developers being huge contributors to campaigns in our city. And let's be honest, people get what they pay for. They get what they pay for, right? You know, I've talked to the former mayor about why she would accept campaign contributions from and a line of credit from John Patarakis and his group, who got her in trouble in the first place, right? Now, why? Just say no, right? Just say no to BG&E if there's a conflict of interest, right? Drawn on the issues, right? Again, I'm not taking any money from these people, right? But Baltimore,
and we are out of time for this segment. We've got to take a quick break. And Nick, I apologize. We've got to take a quick break for news. But stay with us, and we will be back after a break. You're listening to a special edition of Maryland Morning on 881 WYPR. Former Mayor Sheila Dixon, businessman David Warnock, and Councilman Nick Mosby continue our conversation after this break. On 881 WIPR, it's Maryland Morning. If you're just joining us, we're devoting our program this morning to a debate between candidates for the Democratic nomination for mayor of Baltimore. They were among the leaders in the most recent poll conducted about a month ago. State Senator Catherine Pugh led that survey with 26%. Former Mayor Sheila Dixon was in a statistical tie at 24%. And businessman David Warnock came in third with the support of 10% of likely voters. Councilman Nick Mosby drew 6% of support in that poll. After originally agreeing to join our discussion today, Senator Pugh decided not to come this morning. We are happy to have former Mayor Dixon, Councilman Mosby, and Mr. Warnock here in Studio A. By the way, 45% of those surveyed in the Sun UB poll said that they could change their minds, which means that candidates like lawyer Elizabeth Embry or Councilman Carl Stokes could also pick up support in the 20 days before the election. And by the way, it wouldn't surprise me if another poll was published in the next few days, so who knows what that may show. So, Councilman Mosby, everybody talks about partnerships. They talk about getting along and encouraging the active engagement of the business community. BGE is certainly a large employer, as I mentioned. They're part of this Be More Local initiative that's been spurred by Hopkins. Partnerships are a good thing. BGE is one of the major employers in town. You've criticized Senator Pugh. You've criticized former Mayor Dixon about their ties, Ms. Dixon's ties to John Patarakis and other developers. What's your take on all this?
Well, specifically around the BG&E thing, Tom. I think that right now there's a tremendous amount of apathy towards the political process. And unfortunately, I don't think that we really hit on the fact associated with BG&E in the city of Baltimore. Now, first, I'll say that there is no type of level of speculation that there is wrongdoings or there is some type of funny or shaky stuff. But what we need to do is eliminate any amount of speculation in that department. And when we talk about BG&E, a company that's currently suing the city of Baltimore, we just don't simply want our next leader to go into office with the type of ties that Catherine Pugh currently has with BG&E. And I think that that was the biggest concern that was raised, knowing that they tried to purchase the infrastructure for pennies on a dollar, knowing that they currently have a lawsuit against the city of Baltimore, and knowing that they're trying to raise the rates of on the citizens of Baltimore. And I think that's why many folks in the race called it out as a problem when you've seen a consortium of executives and leaders in this corporation that has decided to donate to Catherine Pugh.
When we talk about sort of guilt by association, whether it be developers or people, you know, Mr. Warnock, for example, we have a listener, Patricia Helfrich, who has emailed me on several occasions wondering why I don't ask you about the fact that in the 33 years you've lived in Baltimore, about 20 of those years you've lived in Baltimore County. Should it matter that you haven't lived in the city of Baltimore for all of this, for all of your tenure in Baltimore? Should it matter that many of your contributions to your campaign come from out of state, from people who support you? I mean, how should it or shouldn't it matter to voters?
Well, you know, I've worked in Baltimore for 33 years. I have had a W-2 from Baltimore City for 33 years. And the investments that I've made, whether it's in the Warnock Foundation or in starting businesses in Baltimore, you know, the businesses that I've started in Baltimore literally employ hundreds of people, whether it's Town Park. Or, you know, I could go on and on. But, you know, my commitment to the city of Baltimore has been meaningful. It's been extensive, and it's gone on for 33 years. And again, you know, I've been working in Baltimore for 33 years, and I love this city. And the answer to your question is, I will love this city until the day that I die.
And Tom, I think we all love the city, and you know, I've never discredited David for his love for the city or his commitment to programs and institutions in the city of Baltimore. I just think Baltimore City at this point needs something much more. They need a leader, again, that's going to be able to connect the dots throughout the entire city. And that's not saying that you have to be born and raised in the city of Baltimore. You've had to live here for X number of years. But we really need, specifically coming out of the unrest, is saying this whole mantra of one Baltimore, someone to truly bring all of Baltimore together. We need a mayor that's going to be a mayor for our entire city, not just for certain parts of our city. And I think that that's where my unique characteristic fits on this particular stage.
In the poll that was conducted last month, when voters were asked what the number one issue was, they all said crime by a large margin. So, former Mayor Dixon, crime is the number one concern. All of you have endorsed some form of community policing. What does it mean to you? What will be different about the police force now, for example, as it stood when you were the mayor before you resigned in 2006?
Well, first of all, when I was mayor, crime began to go down in every area, the lowest it ever been in 20 years, because everybody in the police department, first of all, I hired a great commissioner, Commissioner Fred Bielfeld. Secondly, all of our police from the ground up understood and knew that we were not going to continue with the past practices of zero tolerance. We were going to deal with the most violent offenders, and that's part of the plan moving forward. We were going to I'm going to reinstitute the gun registry, where we're going to register individuals who are arrested for gun offenses. But we're going to also go.
The gun registry is still in effect.
It is, but they're not implementing it. They're not going out. They're not visiting those individuals. They're not finding other options. They're not working with partners in the state's attorney's office, parole and probation, where they're literally saying, let's work together. Let's create a new plan for you, knocking on those doors as we've done in the past. Our officers are not only going to be involved and engaged in that community, but they're going to get out of the cars. Yes, there's some sensitivity training that has to take place. There's some trust that has to take place. Also, I'm going to add teeth to the Civilian Review Board. You know, we had an active Civilian Review Board, but normally you have to file a formal complaint. Well, you won't have to do that. We're going to have professional staff working with the Civilian Review Board, where they will be able to call in, send a picture or email to put a complaint, know that they're going to get answers. And then last but not least, right now we are in a crisis. We have a real shortage of police officers. The current administration is about to remove and cut the budget in the police department, which we need to do. But we need to bring our officers up to a level and keep a consistent of officers who have experience. And so we literally, I'm going to call for a lot of officers who've left, who are good, who are committed to the city, to come back. Also want to provide some incentives, additional incentives, to get officers to live here in our communities.
And there are bills about the law enforcement officer bill, right?
Yes, there
and
are.
And to provide tax breaks for officers who locate in the city.
But we also have to provide,
yes,
but we also have to give individuals, ex-offenders coming out, other options. We've got to begin to train and provide them with job opportunities.
But what I'm hearing then from you is that no particular dramatic departure from what Commissioner Davis is doing right now.
Well, I think he's moving in the right direction. I think with the body cameras is great. I think that he is getting his officers and he understands because I believe that he wants to be that commissioner who can help to bring it down. But there are just so many other elements that we have to change. The culture of our police department. You know, when officers come into Baltimore to join the police force, we have to stop having our officers tell folks to move to Pennsylvania and Harford County. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to get them in the community.
So, Mr. Warnock, I mean, in your vision for the police department, how the police department should proceed moving forward, do you see any dramatic detour from the path that Kevin Davis is currently on?
Well, let's just talk about the real causes of crime. I mean, we all agree on the tactical things that we are going to do, whether it's body cameras, getting cops out of the car, having police from Baltimore and living in Baltimore. Absolutely, we need to do those things. But the reality is that we will never solve our crime problem in Baltimore City unless we create jobs and opportunity. And the thing that I've been working on for the last 20 years is removing the barriers for our returning citizens to get to work. I've been doing that nights and weekends at the Center for Urban Families, and we could talk about that, and people can read about that on David Warnock for Baltimore. We also need to create great schools where kids, when they graduate from high school, have the toolkit that they need to get the job of their choice so that they can make a choice to do something other than sell drugs or get involved in crime. There's no shortage of talent or there's no shortage of motivation. There's a shortage of opportunity. The real cause of crime is the lack of opportunity. The other thing that I will do is I will restore our police district offices because I fundamentally believe that the conditions we're asking our cops to work under are deplorable. And I want to make our police district offices places of community engagement with free Wi-Fi, a PAL center, but also create an environment where our police feel respected again.
Nick Mosby, when we talk about jobs, and I don't think anybody would disagree with Mr. Warnock when he says that, you know, obviously job creation is going to help people, you know, have a life that's going to deter them from a life of crime. But we also talk about this limited number of individuals who are committing most of the violent crime. Carl right. Stokes has put that number at 238, as if there's a specific number. You know, yeah. It sounds like we know exactly who they are, where they live, what their dogs' names are, et cetera. I mean, a job program, is it going to address those 238 people, the most violent criminals? How's that going to work?
Not at all. And that's how the city of Baltimore has failed over the past 30 years. I mean, we talk about zero tolerance a lot of times. And, you know, at the point of the height of zero tolerance in the city of Baltimore, Ms. Dixon was city council president, and she sat there silently. She didn't speak up. But more importantly, after zero tolerance, we did this huge enforcement on our communities in East and West Baltimore through a unit by the name of the VSIS unit. And the Baltimore Sun has done amazing articles investigating this unit and some of the complaints, like the 87-year-old grandmother that was thrown down and her shoulder broken, or the woman that was 7 months pregnant that was thrown off a porch on her stomach. But I say all this to say, unfortunately, our criminal justice system is made up of our community. And when you defy the trust of communities, you really exacerbate those issues that we have.
So to regain that trust, what do we do?
The first thing that we have to do, and one thing that no other mayor in the city of Baltimore has aggressively gone after, is doing away with these immediate non-disparagement agreements between citizens where trust has been broken. Right
now, there's been about $11 million in settlements
in
paid
six
over the
years.
Last several years.
And so right now, if a citizen, if the trust is broken between a police officer and a citizen, and maybe my arm is broken, say, tomorrow, And the city comes out and says, you know what, this was wrong. This shouldn't take place. Here's a check for what took place. But you can never, ever talk about it again. And unfortunately, it empowers that small group of officers in our police department to continue to go around and do that. That's why when you looked at that Sun article,
but it's over a condition of the payment. It's a condition of the agreement between the parties.
Correct. But to make a gag order only empowers and provides lack of transparency for the citizens of actually what's going on. That's why when you looked at the 105 cases that they brought up, much of which was on the tenure of Ms. Dixon and the former mayor, when you look at it, you saw the same repeated names of officers over and over again. And unfortunately, that small bunch gives the entire apartment a very bad name for these communities in which we need to serve. We need to provide enforcement over those violent repeat offenders and not over the communities.
Nick,
we had 344 homicides.
But I also think that Nick needs to give correct information.
We had 344 homicides. I cut no one off. We had 344 homicides last year, but we did not have 344 murders. We need to take a data-driven approach to go after our worst of the worst. We need to leverage predictive analytics. We need to leverage regional intelligence sharing. We need to become smarter on crime in the city of Baltimore, right, as opposed to providing enforcement.
And Nick Mosby, where all the incidents have happened, the public housing incidents that have happened, the scandals, the incidents of Freddie Gray and Nick Mosby's district.
And it's been
wait a minute, but he's a council person, and a council person does have authority. You know, marching around in communities is great, but let's have some results as a result of those marching around. And let's see where you were during these 5 years when folks couldn't find you in your district. And I have to beg to differ with him, and I can give you the facts. There were less incidents under my administration because what I made it very clear
incidents
from the
of police brutality,
of police brutality I made it, or lawsuits. And I'm going to tell you, I made it very clear in my command staff, who were an exceptional group of individuals under Commissioner Bielefeld. I said, we're not going to tolerate. Yes, we do have to deal with those bad apples, and we were beginning to do that. But keep in mind, we had to clean up. And when I was city council president, I did speak out about zero tolerance, and I did cut the police budget in many ways under the O'Malley administration.
But
the point is that crime did not go down in every area until my administration. So I know what it takes to move the city forward.
Let's give Mr. Warnock the floor.
At the end of the day, I mean, people in this city are just tired of the political back and forth. You know, he said, she said, you know, all these politicians in the race. At the end of the day, there are huge numbers of underemployed and unemployed people in our city, vacant houses, right? What happened when the cameras weren't running? Right? It's time to put people to work. It's time to educate kids so that when they come out of high school, they have real options, right? It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. Whosever fault it is, it hasn't happened. And it's not going to happen unless we get serious about addressing jobs and opportunity and better schools in our city. And that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, if I could just provide a rebuttal. You know, I think that unfortunately Ms. Dixon is kind of delusional when she talks about these things. I mean, the fact that, you know, Freddie Gray is Nick Mosby's issue because I've been on the council for 3 or 4 years at the time when it occurred. No, that's a result of failed policy for the past 30 years. Ms. Dixon was elected when I was 8 years old in the third grade. And it's a result of all of those systemic and structural issues that we've seen for far too long. When we talk about the reduction of crime in our city and we talk about the issues of trust in our communities, that's directly related to the failed policies that we've seen in the past. So
right,
it's
I'm
really
have
important.
To ask you to cut off there. We've run out of time for this segment, but we will be back after a little break for the news. You're listening to a special edition of Maryland Morning on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall, joined in the studio by former Mayor Sheila Dixon, businessman David Warnock, and City Councilman Nick Mosby. We'll have more of our conversation with these three Democratic candidates for mayor after a break for the national news. But first, it's time for our regular Wednesday feature, The Environment in Focus. Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We'll continue now with our debate between three of the 13 Democratic candidates for mayor of Baltimore. State Senator Catherine Pugh, former mayor Sheila Dixon, businessman David Warnock, and Councilman Nick Mosby were the top four in a poll conducted by OpinionWorks in Annapolis last month. That poll was commissioned by the Baltimore Sun and the University of Baltimore. Senator Pugh first agreed to be part of our discussion this morning, but yesterday she suddenly declined our invitation to be here. Sheila Dixon, David Warnock, and Nick Mosby join me in the studio this morning. Joining them on the ballot on April 26th will be Elizabeth Embry and Carl Stokes, along with seven other candidates, including DeRay McKesson and Calvin Young. So, folks, we have about 3 or 4 minutes before we get to your closing statements. I want to talk about the issue of race. We had a riot last and violence and an uprising about a year ago here in our city that laid bare the racial and economic inequalities and the problems that we're having in our cities. In the poll conducted in November and again in March, we found that Ms. Dixon, your support, and Mr. Mosby, your support is largely from the black community. Mr. Warnock, your support is from the white community. Catherine Pugh's support, a bit more of a mix there. Who among you, and let's start with you, Ms. Dixon, why do you think you would be the best person to heal the racial divide in our city?
Well, first of all, I have been involved and engaged intricately with every community in the city of Baltimore. Only candidate who's ever been throughout this entire city, working with communities in the Park Heights, Sandtown, Roland Park, Guilford. And I know how to be able to communicate and bring people together to deal with some of the issues that we face. And the biggest piece of what we face, and this is where we have to create opportunities, is we have to open up opportunities to African Americans in particular in this city to know that they're a part of the process and that they can be engaged and involved, as well as the white community. You know, my success records over the years has brought people to the table. And we've got to have some hard-to-hard conversations about race, but we also have to look at what are the basic fundamental things that people want for themselves and their families. Everybody wants to have a safe community. I don't think anybody's in disagreement with that. Everybody wants a good education for their children. So we have to bring our babies into this world healthy. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to have a good job to take care of their family. That's why I'm going to increase city workers to $15 an hour so that those individuals will have the quality of life. That's why I'm going to triple training money for jobs and job training. That's why I'm going to get out of City Hall and get into the communities, working with neighbors and communities.
Being, again, being conscious of the clock, let me move to Mr. Warnock, healing the racial divide in our city.
You know, I think this election is about respect, if nothing else. And I think that the people of Baltimore have a very keen eye for authenticity. And I think that if you look at what I've done when the cameras aren't running, you know, whether it's the businesses that I've created, but whether it's the nights and weekends that I've spent on Monroe Street, you know, we've had over 25,000 people go through our workforce development program at the Center for Urban Families on their way to a better life. Whether it's Green Street Academy, where we have 650 kids, you know, I think we need somebody that can not only create jobs and opportunity and has a track record of doing this, but understands well the impediments that people have to getting in the workforce in this city. Because at the end of the day, this election is about respect for city government. Our city government hasn't respected the citizens of Baltimore. But it's also about creating jobs and opportunity for people. And I've simply done that.
All right, Mr. Mosby, racial divide. It's a real problem. It's a real, real problem here.
It is. But unfortunately, Tom, when you look at polls like that and you take very generic top lines of just looking at race, it doesn't really provide the layer of context that you need to understand the facts. If you extrapolate it out, I would be really interested to see the correlation to socioeconomics, because that's really the driving factor. And unfortunately, from a proportional perspective, African Americans in the city, you know, make up a large percentage of the folks that are living in poverty when, you know, white counterparts do not. So unfortunately, I think race kind of...
Some estimates is 1 in 4.
Yeah. So I think unfortunately, race is always thrown out there because it's easier for us to kind of hold on to, but really the complexity is around socioeconomics. And I think a candidate like myself, who has, you know, been the kid that watched his mother wake up 4:30 a.m. after sharing a bedroom with her and my older sister till the 8th grade, go to work and catch a failed mass transit system, or sat in a failed Baltimore City public school, or seen my friend slain on the street, I think because of my connectivity to the community, ultimately a lot of the policies that I've generated have gone to speak to the citizens of Baltimore that have not been invested in over the past 20 or 30 years. I'm the only candidate in this race because of my ability of being able to work through corporate America, now City Hall, that can truly connect the dots from our corporate boardrooms to our street corners. And that's the type of transformative leadership that we need now more than ever. And that's why I'm in this race.
Ms. Dixon, let me ask you to be the first to give about a minute of closing remarks, please.
Well, first of all, you know, my record, and I go back to creating and lowering in every area of crime in this city. But also, I know what it takes to boldly move a plan in place and implement it. And so I really want to encourage the citizens of Baltimore to go on my website, SheilaDixonForMayor.com, where I have a crime plan, housing plan, health plan, economic development and prosperity plan. I've worked with contractors, particularly minority and women companies over the last 5 years, helping them to increase and enhance their businesses, hiring people who normally would not get an opportunity. I am the only candidate who's been able, who can hit the ground and not only run and move the city forward, but implement all these plans without any new money. I know what it takes. I have the leadership ability. I love the city. I'm committed to the city. And I'm going to do everything in my power, I know, with working with the citizens in this city.
All right, former mayor, former mayor Sheila Dixon, thank you. Mr. Warnock, your final thoughts.
You know, I'm in this race because city government has been unaccountable to the citizens of Baltimore. You know, the Department of Transportation says 1 out of 7 bridges are structurally unsound, but they can't tell you which bridges. Every public pension plan in our city is on the verge of insolvency, except for the one for elected officials. I mean, you can't make this stuff up when we're running a $75 million deficit every year. But I'm also in this race because I've created great schools and created opportunities for kids, returning citizens, and put people to work. This city deserves better. This city deserves a different kind of leadership, a leadership with a business mind.
All right, Mr. Mosby, final thoughts.
Tom, we all love this city. What we need now more than ever is a mayor that's going to hit the ground and run, but run in the right direction. And unfortunately, the city of Baltimore has not been moving in the right direction over several decades. We could continue to look at the situation, and there's two clear options. I hear folks all the time, there's so many candidates running. Yeah, there are. But when you look at it, there's a choice of kind of going back in the past and dealing with business as usual and the same cast of characters and the failed policies that's gotten us where we are currently today, or we can really go in a new trajectory and fight for new leadership, new opportunities, and a fresh commitment to provide lasting results for all Baltimoreans. That's why I'm so confident in my comprehensive plan of sitting down with hours and hours of discussions with community leaders, to clergy leaders, to business owners, to ensure that we create policies that's going to really drive and go after the challenges of tomorrow in the city of Baltimore. That you vote for me, please visit my website. It's mosbyformayor.com.
All right, Nick Mosby, David Warnock, Sheila Dixon. One thing I can assure all of our listeners is that each of you has a very authentic and sincere love of this city and a commitment to do the best you can to make it better. And I appreciate your time today. I appreciate your willingness to put yourself out as candidates. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Hall. This has been a special edition of Maryland Morning here on 88.1 WIPR. My thanks to former Mayor Sheila Dixon, businessman David Warnock, and City Councilman Nick Mosby for being with us this morning. Thanks to you for tuning in to hear what they've had to say. If you missed part of our discussion this morning or to hear my individual interviews with each of the candidates in this crowded Democratic field, including Elizabeth Embry, Carl Strokes, DeRay McKesson, and others, come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Early voting in this important election begins a week from tomorrow. Election day is April 26th. Stay tuned to Maryland Morning and to WIPR for continuing coverage of the races up and down the ballot. Coming up Friday on Maryland Morning, ProPublica reporter Alec McGillis on the connection between racial inequality and public transportation, as well as this month's installment of the Accountability Index with our colleagues from the Baltimore Brew. Until then, for Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.